Peace and love, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that is working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I'm your host, Raven. Thank you for hopping on to listen to the program. Obviously, we are driving along. If you don't hear the road in the rain in the background, today we're going to just be cruising. I'm on my way home from some family shit for the holidays, and you know, I just feel like hitting record. I want to share a few things, some encouraging things, and also talk about some things that, you know, I think a lot of us are struggling with. So if you're looking for one, you know, or some type of episode with a lot of facts, figures, data, information, this probably isn't the one for you, but feel free to stick around nevertheless. So first of all, I've been talking with a lot of friends who I haven't been able to hear from for some time. Life is funny, you know. We meet people and we build these relationships, and then, you know, all of a sudden now it's as if this person has some, you know, place, some necessity in our lives. And as folks grow apart or grow older or just grow to get to know other people and begin to not necessarily change, but see their objectives change and things like that. They move, things, you know, become different. Life is just, it's a series of seasons, you know, one after the next. And then there's times where people who you thought were now, you know, gone for your life, they moved away, or you had a falling out or what have you, and you don't have the relationship anymore, and now they, you know, you rekindle that and you get to talk to one another again. Or simply put, you know, friends, people, family get busy and you can't talk as much, and then now when you're less busy, you get to speak once again. I was very happy recently to talk to a very good comrade of mine, a comrade who has been on the program before, my homie from Brazil, who finished their schooling for now and was available to hop on the phone. And I don't know about y'all, but I love a good phone call. I can, obviously, I have the podcast. I mean, you know, if you listen, I can talk. I can talk about anything and everything and ramble on forever and connect a bunch of things that seemingly have no connection, but find a way to bring them up in connection to other things. Anyways, we were able to talk. It was wonderful. I felt very reinvigorated from that conversation. I wanted to share kind of a sentiment that they had expressed to me as we were leaving the call. I even joked and said that I needed to get him to record himself saying it, and that I needed to put it at the end of the podcast with him playing the accordion, because he plays the accordion. So, anyways, he was expressing to me, you know, it's been a couple days now, so my apologies to the comrade if I'm not getting everything 100% correct, but he expressed to me a hope. A hope that I've been feeling more and more and beginning to see more and more around the world, but a hope that is very hard to fight for and defend amidst so much hopelessness. And so it really meant a lot to me to hear this, you know, especially after the conversation we had had and all of the awful things that are happening in the world. And he basically said that we are seeing a stage in the history of struggle, in the history of oppression, in the history of humankind, where the forces, you know, as they've existed for some time, really are not capable of ruling, dominating, and controlling things in the same way as they always have. And that a lot of the organizations, the parties, the ideologies, the movements that have come about through the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, early 2000s, right? That were less and less revolutionary, that were more confined in the reformist, parliamentary, legislative type of action, civil disobedience, things like this, and where a lot of the international relations, the international debates and discussions began to sour in a lot of ways, become reactionary in many ways, or at least lose a lot of the revolutionary fervor that existed throughout the 60s and 70s and before then, right? And again, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm adding to what he had to say, but essentially, he was saying that we are seeing the resurgence of a new revolutionary moment. And of course, we can look to Palestine as a very clear example, but elsewhere in the world, and even here in the West, in the United States, so-called, we are seeing more people, more activists, organizers, students, union members, becoming fed up with their organizations, with their parties, with their unions, with the leadership, becoming fed up with the obsession with what we might call bourgeois ideology, the fundamental necessity and focus primarily on electoralism, on a legislative ticket, on parliamentary struggles, above ground legal struggles that have been set up by the state for us, or that the state is willing to accept and eat, like protests and demonstrations like that. But now you are seeing that a sizable amount of the youth, the example in Brazil is the breakaway and the internal division of the Partido Comunista Brasileiro, where a majority of the young revolutionaries, the more militant members of the party, have felt that for some time the leadership of the PCB has faded into left liberalism, has faded into anti-communist ideology of sort. You know, it's not the revolutionary party that they were told it was to be, that they thought it was, and that they were trying to build. That is, the militants, the membership, the base of the party. There's plenty of examples throughout the world right now of this as well. I mean, you see many young militants, many young communists, socialists, and others who are not given a legitimate party, a legitimate organization to struggle with, to struggle within. Because so many of these parties, so many of these organizations have been infiltrated, they've been co-opted, they've been emptied out and hollowed of their true revolutionary members and character. They've had all kinds of internal division, struggle, all kinds of ideological hiccups, I guess you'd call them, and a lot of manipulation, and a lot of, infiltration, you know, co-optation. And since the last 20, 30, 40, over the course of the last few decades, we see, especially in Palestine, a lack of willingness to continue with the same old, right? There's new resistance factions popping up all over the place. And many today are acting in a form of unity, unity of action, not necessarily unity of thought, but unity of action in October 7th and other such actions prior, where 20, 30, 40 years ago, one of the largest issues facing the Palestinians was the internal divisions, the internal factionalism and such, which faces many movements, many revolutionary struggles around the world. But now, today, again, we are seeing, as the comrade was saying, a resurgence of revolutionary politics, a resurgence of armed struggle in the case of Palestine, a resurgence of this want for a real militant revolutionary organization, party, collective, whatever you want to call it, that is true to its word, true to its so-called ideology, true to its base. And rather than focusing on trying to maintain, you know, some kind of above ground formation, trying to maintain some kind of bureaucracy that the average member, the average militant, wants to instead see consistency of action, where not just the same actions over and over again, but the primary consistent action that I and other young militants, young socialist communists coming into it, trying to get involved, trying to organize for the first time, right? What I and others that I'm talking to are feeling is this want to have something legitimate to put our effort into, so that we don't feel that we're wasting our time on another offshoot organization or one-off event or, you know, collective that's going to exist for 6 months but has no real principles, has no real foundation, has no real cohesion. Like, this is getting to a point where so many are instead just not organizing for whatever reason. You know, I've used the excuse more times than I'd like to admit that, oh, this group isn't what I want them to be, or this event isn't what I want it to be, so I'm not going to go. Whatever. That's bullshit. That's straight up bullshit, because if we want to see something better, if we want to have this type of organization, collective, this type of hope, right, for something, we have to build it. And that's what the comrade was saying, was right now, you are seeing a energy like never before, where the times are just, it's just up, you know, the time's up. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to bicker and to do all the bullshit that they did before. We have to learn the lessons of those who came before us. We don't have the time. We're not afforded the ability to fail. I mentioned it in the last podcast, I think. I saw Chris Hedges' video, and listen, I don't really fuck with Chris Hedges. Like, I'm just, all respect, I guess, to him for the work that he does, but, like, I don't really fuck with him. And, like, the poem, the speech, whatever that he gave, where he said, "We have failed you." I saw another comrade in Palestine, I think it was actually in the Palestinian youth movement, excuse me, who spoke against that and said, we don't have the ability to afford ourselves failure. And I think that's where a lot of this, you know, frustration, despair, hopelessness has found fertile ground, because the vacuum that exists without any such formation, organization, collective, even a neighborhood group, right? That hopelessness, that focus on individualism, this idea that somehow, some way, we as individuals are going to overcome systematic historic problems that have affected millions, if not billions, of people prior to us, many of whom never were able to overcome these struggles themselves either. And we, for some reason, believe that either A, we are going to be able to overcome it through our own individual action, intellect, what have you, savviness, Or B, those of us who are more, you know, keen towards collective action and organizing for whatever reason, believe that we are just going to come up with, you know, the best idea right from the beginning for the first time. Nobody's ever going to have said it. Nobody's going to have ever tried it before. And we end up repeating the same mistakes, recreating the wheel of events, of demonstrations, of organizational tactics and strategies that have come before. Without organization, we also don't have education. And without an education on the history of the movement internationally, the history of the struggle of working and oppressed people throughout the world, but also the history of local struggles, of local resistance, of local organization. If we do not learn from our elders, from those who have come before us, from those who are more experienced than us, then we are doomed to repeat the same mistakes that they made at our age, at our early stage of education, of consciousness, of organization. We cannot pretend like, first of all, we get to just give up. Because the unfortunate thing about life is you can give up, you know, you can. And, you know, in some instances, you can end your life, right? But unless you full-on, you know, full-stop end your life, you will suffer and still have to endure the day-to-day difficulties of life, you know? Even if you lock yourself in the room, even if you don't work, even if you don't go out, even if you don't talk to anybody, right? I think a lot of us have been there. And we realize that kind of as we come out of that, that the problems, you know, seems silly to say, but the problems never went away. We did. We went away from the problems. But as we come back, now oftentimes these problems compound on one another. So what I'm saying is the Palestinians have obviously come to understand that they can't get away from their problems. They can't peaceably negotiate away a siege or an occupation or colonialism or genocide. The indigenous people of the Americas, of Africa, of Asia have this experience, and more are developing strategies and tactics towards real revolutionary change. Now, that's not always the case, but more and more we are seeing that nobody's going to join your nonprofit, your organization, your collective, if the shit that you're doing isn't interesting to them, doesn't seem like it will work, doesn't make them want to commit any effort or participation. And so all of these organizations, even those who are having an increase in membership, are seeing a real decrease in the quality of organizing, because oftentimes they are repeating, again, failed tactics and strategies. And I am not vacant from this rule. I continuously make these mistakes. And this is why I'm so frustrated about it, is because I feel stupid. I want to have this type of organization locally. I want to build something like this. I want to see legitimate revolutionary change in the world. But I feel so unequipped, inexperienced, and unable to do so through my own action, of course. And as I, you know, build with others and I come to get to know people and develop relationships, I see that there are other people out here who want this thing, who want something meaningful, strong, liberating, educational, informative, practical, productive, successful. But so many just kind of think that it's going to come about, or that if they wait around long enough, it'll just happen. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, if it isn't us, especially where we are at locally, our jobs, etc., like, And it's not anybody else to this point. Like, who the fuck else is it going to be? Like, the generations before us waited. The generations before us sold out the Iraqis, the Afghanis. They sold out the Bosnians, the Serbians. They sold out the Somalis. They sold out all of these people who had to suffer. They let them suffer. They participated in these wars. They let revolutionary organizations drown and be captured and be co-opted and destroyed. They left political prisoners to rot in prison, to not have relationships. They let, after the fall of the Soviet Union, the socialist camp, the revolutionary camp, they let it pause. They let it become a vacuum. They were bought by the bourgeois ideology that socialism had failed and now capitalism was the only way. And of course, like any of us today, they felt hopeless. They turned to drugs. They turned to depression and suicide. Well, I shouldn't say they turned to. They were pushed into and had to fall into, without any kind of organization or hope out here, the extreme symptoms of depression, anxiety, addiction, etc. Many through that generation who were guerrillas, who were communists, who were revolutionaries, actually ended up turning away from socialism, turning away from communism, allowed these historic examples to stain their idea of the principles of socialism rather than seeing it as an attempt by human beings for the first time in that place, in that region, in that time period to develop something new that didn't succeed. Instead, many just said, well, looks like socialism isn't the way. And I'm here to tell you today that the generation that is coming up, they don't have that ability. They cannot afford us. We cannot afford us waiting. We have to get serious. I have to get serious. I don't know, my friends. I feel frustrated more and more every day. And as the Palestinian people is, you know, as the story goes, the birthplace of Christ, if you believe it, if you believe in Jesus, right? The birthplace of one of the most world historic resistance campaigns, Al-Aqsa Flood, in decades. This is a people who, through the worst suffering in the world, is struggling forward and are serious about it and understand that their martyrdom, their death, their suffering is not all they are given, that this earth is not their home, and that they are willing to fight, they are willing to struggle, they are willing to die, they are willing to be tortured, they are willing to do anything that needs to be done to see them and their people free. That is the type of seriousness that ultimately achieves the objectives of liberation. It is not a weekend organizing event. It is not a haphazard one message or one call every few weeks. You know, it's not a, I'm going to check this group chat every once in a while, but otherwise I'm not going to check it, right? Because I feel like my life is more important. That's my big hiccup, is I always be abandoning these group chats. But like, we got to get serious, yo. Like, I feel pathetic. I know that. I know I feel like an absolute hypocrite. I feel worthless. I feel very meaningless. I feel like my life at this point is just bullshit. And I don't want to feel that way anymore. So, with that, I say the same message of hope that my comrade gave me, that things are changing, that the people are no longer willing as a mass to just let things keep happening. The youth are unwilling to sit back and watch things happen because they understand that it is the earth, it is their existence, it is humanity that is on the line. And that's the same mindset that we should be having. Fuck Israel. Fuck the occupation. All power to the Palestinian people. Long live revolution.